about the same level as a jet plane would be. And it's mandatory for those working in front of jet planes, they have to have hearing, things that stop you from hearing the sound. So if you want to play the cartels and the wampers, then everyone should get one of those hearing protectors so that you won't be able to hear the cartels and the wampers. Otherwise, after some time, as many of our senior devotees now, they have hearing aids. So they can barely hear anything, so they need a hearing aid. So if that's, you want to follow those footsteps and play them as loud as possible outside. That's my suggestion. That was our... Yeah, we're actually supposed to hear the holy name. We're not supposed to drown it out. We're inviting Krishna to come. We're asking him to come. But when he comes, we have so many other sounds we can't even notice he's present there. So that's from the Ministry of Health, for those who can hear it. Om Agyana Tivanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiha Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Svitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prunitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Just a little further information. The way it works is that hearing process involves very small bones in the inner ear. And there, the bones have there's another set of apparatus called small hairs. And these small hairs, according to the type of small hair, you're able to hear either high or low. And the first, by very loud sounds, these fine hairs are killed. And the first ones that get killed are your ability to hear high sounds. And after a while, so you don't notice it at first, because most of them are hearing lower sounds. But then after some time, even the other sounds, the other hairs are killed off till you finally go deaf. So it's not that deafness comes all of a sudden. It comes gradually by killing off those hairs. And the louder the sound, the quicker the hairs die off. So, we're going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, The Birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 21. Danvinam Agranara Esha Tulyas Charjunor Dwayo Hutasha Iva Dura Darshu Dorsha Samudra Iva Dushtaraha.
Samudra Iva Dushtaraha.
Tanvinam Agrinimesha.
Tanvinam Agrinimesha.
Toyaschar Junarayor Dvaya. Utasha Iva Duradarshaha. Samudra Iva Dushtaraha. Kanvina Magriyesha. Duyas Charjana Yoradvayo. Samudra Iva Dushtaraha Vinyam Yagridesha Tuyas Charjana Yoradvaya Pudash Iva Doradarsha Samudra Iva Dushtaraha. Ladies, Vinam Agrinirasha Tuyas Charjana Yoradayo Udasha Iva Duradasha Samudra Iva Dushtaraha Dandvinam of the Great Bowman Agrani. The four men, Aisha, this child, Tulya, equally good, Cha, and Arjunayo, of the Arjunas, Dvayo, of the two, Utashaha, fire, Iva, like, Duradarshaha, irresistible. Samudra, ocean. Iva, like. Dustaraha, unsurpassable. So we thought we had a long purport yesterday and the day before. This one is twice as long. And it's all about Arjuna. Among great bowmen, this child will be as good as Arjuna. He will be irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. Purport. In the history, there are two Arjunas. One is Kartavirya Arjuna, the king of Haihaya, and the other is the grandfather of the child. Both the Arjunas are famous for their bowmanship. So when they're referring to the grandfather child, it means grandfather of Pariksit Maharaj. And child Pariksit is foretold to be equal to both of them, particularly in fighting. A short description of the Pandava Arjuna is given below. Four-page description. Pandava Arjuna, the great hero of the Bhagavad Gita, is a Kshatriya son of Maharaj Pandu. Queen Kunti Devi could call for any one of the demigods, and thus she called for Indra. And Arjuna was born by him. Arjuna is therefore a plenary part of the heavenly king Indra. He was born in the month of Phalguna, February, March. And therefore he is also called Phalguni. When he appeared as the son of Kunti, his future greatness was proclaimed by air messages. And all the important personalities from different parts of the universe, such as the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Adityas from the sun globe, the Rudras, the Vasus, the Nagas, the different Rishis, sages of importance, and the Apsaras, the society girls of heaven, all attended the ceremony. The Apsaras pleased everyone by their heavenly dances and songs. Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna and the maternal uncle of Arjuna, sent his priest, representative Kasyapa, to purify Arjuna by all the prescribed samskaras, or reformatory processes. His samskara of being given a name was performed in the presence of the rishis, residents of Kshatrashringha. He married four wives, Draupadi, Subhadra, Chitrangada, and Ulupi, from whom he got four sons of the names Shutakirti, Abhimanyu, Baruvahan, and Iravan, respectively. During his student life, he was entrusted to study under the great professor Dronacharya, along with other Pandavas and the Kurus. But he excelled everyone by his studious intensity, and Dronacharya was especially attracted by his disciplinary affection. Dronacharya accepted him as a first-grade scholar and loved heartedly to bestow upon him all the blessings of military science. He was so ardent a student that he used to practice bowmanship even at night. And for all these reasons, Professor Dronacharya was determined to make him the topmost bowman of the world. He passed very brilliantly the examination, piercing the target, and Dronacharya was very pleased. Royal families at Manipur and Tripura are descendant of Arjuna's son, Baruvahana. Arjuna saved Dronacharya from the attack of a crocodile, and the Acharya, being pleased with him, rewarded him with a weapon of the name Brahmashiras. Maharaj Drupada was inimical towards Dronacharya, and thus when he attacked the Acharya, Arjuna got him arrested and brought him before Dronacharya. He besieged a city of the name Ahichchatra, belonging to Maharaj Drupada, and after taking it over, he gave it to Dronacharya. The confidential treatment of the weapon, Brahmashiras, was explained to Arjuna, and Dronacharya was promised by Arjuna that he'd use the weapon if necessary when he, Dronacharya, personally became an enemy of Arjuna. By this, the Acharya forecast the future battle of Kurukshetra, in which Dronacharya was on the opposite side. Maharaj Drupada, although defeated by Arjuna on behalf of his professor Dronacharya, decided to hand over his daughter Draupadi to his young combatant. But he was disappointed when he heard the false news. See, even back then they had what was called fake news. This is the original fake news. When he heard the false news of Arjuna's death in the fire of a shellac house, intrigued by Duryodhana, he therefore arranged for Draupadi's personal selection of a groom who could pierce the eye of a fish hanging on the ceiling. The trick was especially made because only Arjuna could do it. and he was successful in his desire to hand over his equally worthy daughter to Arjuna. Arjuna's brothers were at that time living incognito under the agreement with Duryodhana. And Arjuna and his brothers attended the meeting of Draupadi's selection in the dress of brahmanas. When all the Kshatriya's kings assembled, saw that a poor brahmana had been garlanded by Draupadi for her lord, Shri Krishna disclosed his identity to Balaram. He met Ulupi at Haridwara, and he was attracted by a girl belonging to Nagaloka, and thus Iravan was born. Similarly, he met Chitrangada, a daughter of the king of Manipur, and thus Prabhuvahana was born. Lord Shri Krishna made a plan to help Arjuna to kidnap Subhadra, sister of Shri Krishna, because Baladeva was inclined to hand her over to Duryodhana. Yudhisthira also agreed with Shri Krishna, and thus Subhadra was taken by force by Arjuna and then married to him. Subhadra's son is Abhimanyu, the father of Parikshit Maharaj, the posthumous child. Arjuna satisfied the fire god by setting fire to the Kandava forest, and thus the fire god gave him one weapon. Indra was angry when the fire was set in the Kandava forest, and thus Indra, assisted by all other demigods, began fighting with Arjuna for his great challenge. They were defeated by Arjuna, and Indradev returned to his heavenly kingdom. Arjuna also promised all protection to one Mayasura, and the latter presented him one valuable conch shell celebrated as the Devadatta. Similarly, he received many other valuable weapons from Indradev when he was satisfied to see his chivalry. When Maharaj Yudhisthira was disappointed in defeating the king of Magadha, Jarasandha, it was Arjuna only who gave King Yudhisthira all kinds of assurances, and thus Arjuna, Bhima, and Lord Krishna started for Magadha to kill Jarasandha. When he went out to bring all, other kings of the world under the subjugation of the Pandavas, as was usual after the coronation of every emperor, he conquered the country named Kalinda and brought in subjugation King Bhagadatta. Then he traveled through countries like Antagiri, Ulukapura, and Modapura, and brought under subjugation all the rulers. Sometimes he underwent severe types of penances, and later on he was rewarded by Indradev. Lord Shiva also wanted to try the strength of Arjuna, and in the form of an aborigine, Lord Shiva met him. There was a great fight between the two, and at last Lord Shiva was satisfied with him and disclosed his identity. Arjuna prayed to the Lord in all humbleness, and the Lord, being pleased with him, presented him the Pashupata weapon. He acquired many other important weapons from different demigods. He received Dandastra from Yamaraj, Pashastra from Varuna, and Antardhanastra from Kurvera, the treasure of the heavenly kingdom. Indra wanted him to come to the heavenly kingdom and the Indra Loka planet beyond the moon planet. In that planet, he was cordially received by the local residents, and he was awarded reception as the heavenly in the heavenly parliament of Indradev. When he met Indradev, who not only presented him with his Vraja weapon, but also taught him the military and musical science as used in the heavenly planet, One said Indra is the real father of Arjuna, and therefore indirectly he wanted to entertain Arjuna with a famous society girl of heaven, Urvashi, the celebrated beauty. The society girls of heaven are lusty, and Urvashi was very eager to contact Arjuna, the strongest human being. She met him in his room and expressed her desires, but Arjuna sustained his unimpeachable character by closing his eyes before Urvashi, addressing her as mother of the Kuru dynasty and placing her in the category of his mothers Kunti, Madri, and Sachi Devi, the wife of Indra Devi. Disappointed, Urvashi cursed Arjuna and left. In the heavenly planet, he also met the great celebrated ascetic Lomasha and prayed to him for the protection of Maharaj Yudhisthira. When his inimical cousin Duryodhana was under the clutches of the Gandharvas, he wanted to save him and requested the Gandharvas to release Duryodhana. But the Gandharvas refused, and thus he fought with them and got Duryodhana released. When all the Pandavas lived incognito, he presented himself in the court of Maharaj Virata as a eunuch and was employed as a musical teacher of Uttara, his future daughter-in-law, and was known in the Virata kingdom as Brihanala. As Brihanala, he fought on behalf of Uttara, the son of King Virata, and thus defeated the Kurus in the fight incognito. His secret weapons were safely kept in the custody of a somi tree, and he ordered Uttara to get them back. His identity and his two brothers' identities were later on disclosed to Uttara. Dronacharya was informed of Arjuna's presence in the fight at the Kurus and the Viratas. Later on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna killed many great generals like Karna and others. After the battle of Kurukshetra, he punished Ashwatthama, who had killed all the five sons of Draupadi, and then all the brothers went to Bhishmadeva. It is due to Arjuna only that the great philosophical discourses of the Bhagavad Gita were again spoken by the Lord in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. His wonderful acts in the battlefield of Kurukshetra are vividly described in the Mahabharata. Arjuna was defeated, however, by his son Bharuvahana at Manipur and fell unconscious when Ulupi saved him. After the disappearance of Lord Krishna, the message was brought by Arjuna to Maharaj Yudhisthira. Again, Arjuna visited Dwarka, and all the widow wives of Lord Krishna lamented before him. He took them all in the presence of Vasudeva and pacified all of them. Later on, when Vasudeva passed away, he performed his funeral ceremony in the absence of Krishna. While Arjuna was taking all the wives of Krishna to Indraprastha, he was attacked, by the way, and he could not protect the ladies in his custody. At last, advised by Vyasadeva, all the brothers headed for Mahaprasthana. On the way, at the request of his brother, he gave up all important weapons as useless, and he dropped them all in the water. So the text again. Among all great bowmen, the child will be as good as Arjuna. He will be as irresistible as fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. So this is called pastimes. Generally speaking, if we listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, we'll find that Srila Prabhupada very, very rarely spoke on pastimes. I've heard all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. I can only remember Govardhan Puja in 1968, where Prabhupada gave a whole lecture on pastimes. namely Govardhan Pooj. So why is that? To keep devotees awake, certainly when you tell pastimes, then they stay awake. Everyone likes stories. That's why Śrīla Vyāsadeva had written the Mahābhārata, just to keep everyone entertained, so that eventually they might unknowingly hear the Bhagavad Gita, thinking that it might be a pastime. But what is the value of hearing pastimes? Even when Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, the summary of the 10th canto, which is all pastimes, practically speaking, he included large amounts of philosophy. Because without first coming to the platform, spiritual platform, then one cannot actually experience what's being said in the pastimes. Or at least without spiritual senses, one cannot understand the pastimes of Krishna and his associates. So philosophy is meant so that we can come to the platform of liberation. Liberation from the material concept of life. Namely, the material concept of life means to be meditating on our pastimes. What we think is our pastimes. Full pastimes. That we're all avatars, but we're mudha avatars. Incarnations of fools. Who've come here to try to imagine something that's unreal. And that's our whole pastime here. That we're the proprietors, we're the enjoyers, and we're the saviors. But actually we're just fools. Bewildered souls in the material energy, falsely taking credit for something we're not even doing. Watching the virtual reality that Krishna has created and actually believing that we're actually part of it and trying to enjoy it, but actually winding up suffering within it. So, our first business is to hear philosophy, namely to understand properly who we are, so that we can change our desires, because that's all we can do. We can change our desire from the desire to be something we're not and live a life of illusion, or we can change our desires to trying to become an instrument for Krishna, praying to Krishna to come under the spiritual energy and allowing Krishna to, his spiritual energy, to take charge for Krishna's purposes, for his mission. Then we can actually, when we're actually, this body is engaged as under the internal energy of Krishna, when our body, mind, and words are engaged under the internal energy of Krishna, then we can understand what is the internal energy of Krishna, and then we can understand what's going on with those who are acting under the internal energy of Krishna. Otherwise, these are just stories for us. Perhaps when we hear them, because we're in Kali Yuga, when Muchakunda came out of the cave after being burning Kalyavana, Kalyavana, the Malecha Kalyavana, he had 32 million soldiers. He attacked Dwarka. So, it's quite an army. But he was burned to ashes by Muchakunda, and Muchakunda was fighting on the behalf of the demigods for many, many years, and he asked for the benediction from Kartikeya that he could sleep, and anyone who disturbed him woke him up, then he'd burn him to ashes with his eyes. In any case, Krishna arranged it so Kalyavana was burnt to ashes, and then Muchakunda was woken up. Well, Muchakunda was woken up and burnt Kalyavana to ashes. Now, when he came out of the cave, Muchakunda saw these trees. To him, they looked like little bushes. In other words, he's coming from a different age. Similarly, these are stories coming from different ages, And unless we have spiritual senses, our tendency is to compare them to our present existence, because that's all we're familiar with. And they'll seem like fantastic stories. They won't. Sometimes they'll seem so many contradictions, and sometimes there actually are contradictions. I'd like to hear that these warriors, they had bows and arrows, and they were great warriors. If someone came out, say, there was a big fight between some army and everyone came out, we see Arjuna and his soldiers coming out armed with bows and arrows, who would we bet on? Tanks, guided missiles, atomic weapons, and there's some people riding on horses or a chariot coming out with bows and arrows to fight with them. We think that this is quite primitive, bows and arrows. And then we hear about Arjuna unleashing a certain type of weapon that's mentioned here, and instead of one arrow going toward the enemy, the arrow divides itself up millions of times, and millions of soldiers are killed at once by that one arrow. And we think that's someone was taking, or maybe Vyasadeva, who was recording all this, he was sitting there in the Himalayas, and was quite bored and looked around, found some plants nearby to stimulate his imagination. And after taking them, he wrote compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam to make and spice up the stories a little bit to make them interesting. Then we'd be mistaken. You know, a heavenly king Indra, body full of eyes, four-headed people flying on swans. When we hear these things, we think that these people are obviously quite strange, but their stories are even stranger. Maybe that's why they're so strange. And we can go on, because people will become quite, unless we come to the platform of liberation, and understand that we're not even this body, and that this body is working under either the internal or the external energy of Krishna, and Krishna is controlling whole universes and creating them just by breathing out and breathing in, and that in every atom he's existing in every atom, maintaining the universe. Unless we realize that, all these things seem quite fantastic. And if these things seem fantastic, how are we going to understand that this material universe has billions and trillions of universes, the whole material creation, and it's just one little cloud in the spiritual sky? How are we going to accept that, but we can't even accept these small, little, what we seem to be quite amazing? Every part of it seems amazing. But everything becomes clear when we understand we're eternal, we're not this body, and therefore we don't know anything. We don't even know who we are. We don't even know who we're not. What to speak of who we are. We think we're this body, so we don't know anything. Because we don't know we're not the body. The beginning of knowledge, to understand we're not this body. And as long as we think we're this body, that means we have zero knowledge, real knowledge. We may think we know so many things, and how this material energy is working, but if we don't know who it's working under and how it's working, actually we don't know how it's working. These scientists think they're very intelligent. They think everything's working according to some mechanical laws. And then they do experiments where people are just thinking they want some other result. And statistically speaking, some other result comes about just by people wanting some other result. So it's obviously there's some other factor other than some mechanical laws of nature governing everything. If people simply by desiring can alter a so-called scientific experiment, therefore they don't even know how this material nature is working. Although they may spend billions and trillions of dollars researching, but they haven't found that really anything that's real. And therefore they're just wasting their time, because ultimately, unless we understand what we're not, namely we're not this body, we'll never find out who we actually are. And unless we understand who we are, we'll never act in such a way as to find out who we're not. So this information about Arjuna, his wonderful activities, can only be a source of inspiration to understand that actually we don't know anything. If we hear these pastimes, these great personalities, and we think that even in the back of our minds, subtly we think that this is all imagination, there's no relevance to my existence, there's no relevance to reality, then we won't get the inspiration to become a devotee like Arjuna and be able to become a wonderful instrument like Arjuna was for Krishna's pastimes. Because in this age, becoming a wonderful instrument for Krishna's pastimes doesn't mean we have to become a great kshatriya, because we're not going to do that. We're not going to become great brahmanas or kshatriyas. We don't even know how to become a proper vaishya. We're not even shudras. Shudras are obedient. Right? Everyone is rebellious. So, what we can become is an instrument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and try to come to the platform. Whoever we meet, we try to help remind them of Krishna. That we can do. Going out and distributing books will remind people of Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna will remind people of Krishna. Distributing prasadam and telling people that this is Krishna prasadam will remind people of Krishna. Or talking about Krishna in the class, hearing about Krishna, telling our realizations, these will remind us about Krishna. So this is something we can do. Try to do anything else besides that. Just like sometimes the devotees, they want to imagine that they became kshatriyas. We had a whole class of devotees. They wanted to be kshatriyas. But actually they usually wind up to just be violent shudras. They couldn't protect themselves, and they were a danger to themselves, what to speak of anyone else. But they were thinking themselves to be kshatriyas. So if we want protection in this age, this can only be done by spreading the Sankirtan movement. And if we don't spread the Sankirtan movement, nothing's going to save us or anyone else. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Thank you.